Hi there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally Waller with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. We are really excited. We are jumping into a new subject here. We just finished up with the Hallel Psalms, and we just finished Passover. And so that was a really great to get through that, and we're blessed to walk into this next season, which is what, Brayden?
Counting of the Omer.
There we go. Yeah.
So yes, we're in between Passover and Shavuot or Pentecost, and this is the time we're counting 50 days leading up to Shavuot. Mm-hmm. Shavuot means weeks, so it's the Feast of Weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I have this little song that we as a family love to sing. My children get into this song. But it's a song about counting the Omer. So we just take each day and sing this song. So today we're 17. So the song goes, today's day 17, there's 33 to go. It takes 50 days to get us to our goal. So let's get ready, ready, set, go. 33 days till we get to Shavuot. So we're looking forward counting the days. Like when you got an important event coming up, you're counting down the days. Mm-hmm. And so this is the idea behind counting up to Pentecost, is that we're just building anticipation. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to what the Holy Spirit's going to do, Shavuot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, just a couple things come to mind. We're talking about this. First of all, we just had my brother-in-law, Brayden's brother, Britt, just got married about a week or two ago. And he was counting down. He was really anticipating his wedding day. And so he and his wife, Taryn, were counting down the days to their wedding. And so there's this whole, like, picture, you know, of, like, we're going to get to meet. You know, and so just how the anticipation is there, and how, you know, God calls us to count the days here, and we're supposed to grow with the anticipation as the day gets closer and closer, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I thought it was really neat that usually at this time of the year, Brayden and I are out sharing, and we've gone on tours throughout the United States, a lot of the United States, into Canada. We've even been Sweden and Norway and Israel, sharing this message of love and purity. We've called it the Love and Purity Tours. Do you want to explain a little bit about what that is?
Yes. So the heart of this message is calling people to the first commandment, which is, we know, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. So that'd be the love part, and just, mm-hmm. you know, wholehearted love, wholehearted abandon, the whole bride message of loving our bridegroom as a lovesick bride. Mm-hmm. And then purity, we know that in the end it's going to be a pure bride that is waiting and just crying out for Yeshua to come. And so we want to just encourage the body to walk in purity, to be mm-hmm. ready for his coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the message that we're usually sharing at this time during the counting of the Omer. And so we're going to be sharing this message again. Instead of traveling all over, we're going to be sharing it right here from our little base in Missouri.
It's a little more child-friendly this way.
Yeah, right.
Our children have gotten worn out after all the miles on the road.
What did we say we traveled last year? Like 20,000?
20,000 miles.
It's a lot of miles. We actually went, it was one of my favorites because we went all the way up into Canada, British Columbia, down Washington, Oregon, California. It was the most scenic trip for sure. It was absolutely beautiful. But yeah, that was a lot of miles. And we decided this year that we are going to be sitting at home, and we're going to share it from here.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to dive in here. This message is one that God has, he's put on our hearts in a really special way. As we walked through our own story of God revealing himself to us, and then revealing that we are to be brought together to be married, as we walked through this whole process, God really put his heart for his people in us in a really special way, mm-hmm. Which I think is the way it's supposed to be. I think that as we walk through marriage process, and as we watch others, that it's supposed to give us a bit of his heart, that we're supposed to grow in understanding of his heart for his people as we see things. Now, obviously, the enemy has tried to destroy that, but yeah, it's good. And God has a really good plan here. And so we're going to dive into this message. You want to get started?
Yes. So kicking off, we want to look at the end of the story. There's great hope, I believe, you know, as we look at where we're going to be. And I just think that's so important as God's people that we keep that in mind. This is where we're headed. And so let's look at Revelation chapter 22. And this is a prophetic declaration about where God's people are going to be in the end, preceding the Lord's coming. So we see it here, Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride cry, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So this is where we're headed. We're headed towards this lovesick cry. We're going to be longing for the Lord. John 17 mm-hmm. is going to be answered. This mm-hmm. prayer that Yeshua prayed 2,000 years ago mm-hmm. is going to be answered, and we're going to become one with the Lord in a dynamic and powerful way. You know, we have a covenant with him. We're seeking oneness and unity, abiding in him right now, but this day that's coming is going to be so amazing. We're going to join him in the fullness of this marriage covenant. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're longing for. And so the bride is going to be crying out. She's going to be lovesick. Oh, she's just going to be, there's going to be ache in her heart. Like, we want you here. We want you in our midst. And so what's powerful is we see in this passage also that this cry, this longing cry, is going to impact those who hear it as well. So we see here the Spirit and the bride is saying, come. And then, and let him who hears say, come. Mm-hmm. And so there's this kind of ripple effect that happens mm-hmm. as we grow in love for the Lord, mm-hmm. then those around us go, wow, there's something amazing about this relationship that we see. Mm-hmm. And we want to join in with that cry as well. We're mm-hmm. going to cry out, come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that, the whole ripple effect thing, and how it goes, like, you know, you think of a bride and you think of like a queen. Right. And she's the first one that kind of gets it, you know, like, but, and she's getting like lovesick. She's growing in love for her bridegroom, and she's engaging in this whole process, and she cries, come, but it doesn't just stop there. Like, it goes to those who hear, and then it goes to the thirsty. And so I just, and when I'm thinking of the, when it's talking about the thirsty, that they're going to be, they're going to cry, come. I thought of the woman at the well that met Yeshua, the Samaritan, mm-hmm. right? And she's at the well and having this whole conversation with Yeshua, and she's thirsty, right? And she's like, how can you give me living water? And she's a thirsty soul. She's broken. She's been through hard times. She's poor and needy. She's desperate, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, I love that. Like, she's not forgotten. Like, it goes from the bride, from this like queenly, like high place, and it ripples like to, it's going to hit everyone. Mm. That cry, come, it's going to go to those that are poor and needy, and they're able to engage in this lovesick cry. That's going to be crying, come. And so it's such an awesome thing. And I so want to be a part of that voice. I want to be one of those that I want to see the impact that it has even around me, mm-hmm. to that others around me even engage in this lovesick cry. I want to cultivate that in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as we tap into that, as the old song grew up singing, it goes, everybody was born to love, was born to love. Oh, 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 everybody was born to love. And so this song, you know, it's true. We're born to love. Mm-hmm. You know, if a child does not receive affection as a baby, mm-hmm. they actually end up dying. They've done clinical research. If it, you know, you can take care of all their needs. You can take care of their food, change their diapers. But if they do not receive affection, then that child will die. Mm-hmm. And so we're born to love. And so as God gives this command to love as the first commandment, mm-hmm. and, you know, to embrace that lifestyle of love being your motivating force in your life, mm-hmm. you're tapping into the reason you're created.
Yep.
You are born to love. Mm-hmm. You're born to love God first and then love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we tap into that. Then we're like, you're going to live a full life. You're going to live an abundant life.
Right, right.
And so back to this passage here, Revelation 22, amazing thing about this chapter is there's something repeated three times, and it's Yeshua saying, I'm coming quickly. And so he says, I'm coming quickly three times, and the bride cries out, come. It's this picture of full unison. Mm-hmm. The bride is in total agreement with the heart of Yeshua. So let's look at these passages. In verse 7 of chapter 22, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then verse 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." Mm-hmm. Then verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Yeshua, come." Mm-hmm. So here we have, you know, it's amazing. I can just imagine the volume increasing every time. Uh-huh. "I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly."
And then the response, come.
Yeah, it's this divine drama. When we come into agreement with Yeshua's heart that, yes, he's coming to the earth, he's going to establish his kingdom, and we're not having this kind of indifferent approach of just like, well, he'll come whenever he comes, and we're just going to live our lives and just, you know, have mm-hmm. fun in the meantime. But no, we're saying, yes, we want you to come. We've heard the cry of your heart in John 17, that you want to be one with your people. You want to be with us. And we're saying, yes, Lord, we want to be with you too. We want to see the fullness of your kingdom come to the earth. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we're headed. Mm-hmm. So let's have hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it too. There's just so much to talk about. I love, because a lot of times I feel like this message is presented in this like super spiritual way, this like almost untangible way of like the whole bridal picture as something that we can't really even attain, or like you just kind of, yeah, it's up there and the idea is there, but like it's so gripping and so engaging that it's like it's so practical. And I love this whole picture here, because, you know, it's, he's saying, "I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly." Well, what does that mean? That means get ready.
Right.
Right? It means get ready. And you don't get ready by just laying around. Right? You nothing's going to happen if you're just sitting there, because I feel like the attitude that a lot of believers in Messiah have taken is this approach of, well, we don't know when it's going to happen. It could just hit us at any moment. So you just kind of go through life. But it's not. There's a call and response. There's a call, "I am coming quickly." And there's a response that's saying, "I'm getting ready. Come." And there, that is not a laid back bride. That is not someone who's just laying around waiting for her bridegroom to do all the work and she's just going to be sitting there watching TV when he comes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the picture that we get here. We get a bride who's like, whoa, where's this voice? What can I do? How can I get ready? And she's engaging in this process, which I think is what is, it's why it is so important that we talk about this, especially in this time, in this hour. The time is getting closer, right? He said, "I'm coming quickly." And that was 2,000 years ago. And man, we're really getting close. We're getting close to the time. And so we need to be talking about this. How are we preparing? How are we engaging in this preparation process? And
yeah, this passage is so jam-packed with good stuff. Mm-hmm. We see the Spirit is the one that is joining with the bride. And we look back at Abraham and his servant Eliezer. You know, and Eliezer in the Hebrew means God's helper. Uh-huh. You know, El is God, and then Azar is help. So God's help. Mm-hmm. And we know the Holy Spirit is another term for the Holy Spirit is mm-hmm. helper. Mm-hmm. And so, what does this servant do? And another interesting thing is that we know that this servant's name is Eliezer based on a previous place, but it's not, his name is not even mentioned in the story of him, Abraham sending him to go find a bride for Isaac. Mm-hmm. It's just his servant, you know? Right. And so here again, we have another, you know, little hint that this is the Holy Spirit. It's like the faceless, nameless, right. You know, the Holy Spirit's kind of doing his work, mm-hmm. but we don't always really see it real visibly. Mm-hmm. And so, but the Holy Spirit is, his purpose is to prepare a bride ready for the Lord. And this is what Eliezer, we see such a picture of this, mm-hmm. this anointing. He's going out to prepare a bride, or to bring a bride mm-hmm. to Isaac. And so he finds Rebecca. So it's such a beautiful picture. As we go in this podcast, we'll unpack some of these pictures in the Bible of the bride and how they reflect this reality of mm-hmm. the people of God one day, you know, being prepared as a bride for the return of Jesus, of Yeshua.
Yeah, even as you're saying that, I'm thinking of Eliezer and how he put, he dressed Rebecca, right? Mm-hmm. Before he brought her to Isaac.
He gave her gifts.
He gave her like jewelry and stuff, the famous nose ring and stuff, right? Uh-huh. Like he's got, and just how that's a part of the bride. Like,
the Holy Spirit gives us gifts.
Yeah. Like
preparing us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just how like that's part of our preparation is that we're going to be getting dressed, going to be taking on,
Being adorned. Yes.
Being adorned. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Powerful. So here we see there's so much in this passage, the Spirit and the bride are coming together and they're crying, come. This, the bride fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It will be this birth longing within her for more. It's just like, yes, we've touched intimacy with you to a level, but we want more of you. We want more of your fullness. Mm-hmm. And this is what the Holy Spirit is in the earth today. Mm-hmm. It's birthing this desire within God's people for more. Mm-hmm. We're not content with just status quo existence. We want more of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. We want more of his love to flow through us. Mm-hmm. And that's the call of the bride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So we also see something in this passage, the people of God will be referred to as the bride. And so we see in scripture that the people of God are referred to by many terms. We have the army, God's people being like soldiers in an army, defeating the enemy. We see the priesthood, they were called to be priests that are ministering to God. The body of believers, the temple of the Holy Spirit were identified as the believers.
Sheep.
Sheep, yes. the flock, God's flock. Christians were referred to a few times. And these all are powerful things to understand and to really believe in.
Even a son or a daughter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, child of God, uh-huh. Be a part of the family of God. Mm-hmm. But we see in this passage at the end that the primary identifier for the people of God in the end will be they'll be consider themselves a bride. And there's so much in that. A bride is one that you choose. You don't choose your children. Their birth, to some degree, I guess. You choose whether to have children or not. But like when you have a child, that's your child. But a bride is something that you choose. And so that, God chose you. There's a real special affection there. Mm-hmm. And so the amazing thing to me at the end, this is the way the people of God will be identified, mm-hmm. is as a bride. They will long for the fullness of the marriage. They'll be betrothed. They have a covenant, but they're longing for the fullness of that covenant. They're longing for God to come walk in their midst, mm-hmm. and to be joined together in that full way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we see over and over again in Revelation that this bridal picture just keeps on popping up, right? And that's pretty much the note that we end on, is this wedding feast. And so it's such a beautiful thing. Like, what a good God that, what a great picture, like this whole picture of a bride and a groom. And that's the heart, that's showing the heart of our God. It's such a beautiful thing. It's not some there's aspects of that, where we're bond servants but it's not like the picture that it ends on is this beautiful, intimate, romantic picture of a bride and a groom.
Right.
It's just like, what a good God that we have, And also the whole picture, for me, when I think of bride, I'm thinking, again, preparation. A bride, someone who is preparing for a wedding, she is getting ready.
Right. You don't have to prepare to be born, right?
You don't have to prepare to be born. Yeah. Yeah. But like a bride, if she's going to have a wedding day, she needs to engage in preparations. She needs to get ready. There's all kinds of things that she has to engage in. And so I think that's part of it too. He wants us to understand, and it's not like we have to do this. It's not like army kind of thing. Like armies prepare for war. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, get ready. It's like this kind of preparation, but like a bride, when she's preparing, it's like, she's doing it out of love. It's mm-hmm. like she's preparing, and everything about it is an overflow of love.
Right.
Everything about it is coming from this place of love and desire. And it's such a beautiful thing, even though all those other pictures are great as well. This particular picture is such a beautiful, picture of being chosen and flowing out of a heart of love.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So this whole picture of he's coming, you know, he say it three times, I'm coming quickly. And he wants, there's a sense of urgency to it. He says, it's not just I'm coming quickly. And God reckons time much differently than we do, evidently. We know that. The scripture says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so, you know, in God's time frame, that was just a couple days ago.
Right.
He said, I'm coming quickly, just from that eternal framework of how time works. So, but it's true today. He's coming quickly. There's a sense of urgency in his voice. He's coming quickly. And so I believe it's meant to awaken us to say, yes, Lord, I'm waking up this morning and I know you're coming quickly. I don't just want to get in the rut of day-to-day existence. Mm-hmm. I want to be locked in mm-hmm. to the urgency that's in your heart
mm-hmm.
because he really, really cares about us. He cares about the people around us. He wants us to be alive mm-hmm. inside. He doesn't want us to be dying on the inside. He wants us to have fullness of life, abundance of life. And this is all about, I think, fueling this desire for him. Mm-hmm. And I see this beautiful passage in 1 John 3:2 is just being a part of this desire, and that it's something that helps us to even overcome temptation. I believe when this is in place, this desire for him, desire for his purposes in the earth, then this equips us to overcome temptation. Because
mm-hmm.
anything the enemy can offer us is second mm-hmm. rate, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's nothing to it. So let's look at this verse in 1 John. It says, beloved. I love how many times John says beloved.
Yes.
He just keeps on saying beloved. Just so amazing. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So what do we see in this passage? It's as we are hoping to see him, as we're longing for him. When he comes, we're going to be transformed. And if we have that hope of his coming, if we're feeding our spirits on Revelation 22, mm-hmm. the Spirit and the bride crying, come, if we've got that alive in our hearts, he is coming, the bride will be ready, mm-hmm. crying out, come. If we have that burning in our hearts on just seeking to fuel that, seeking to keep that alive, that he's coming, then everyone who has this hope purifies himself mm-hmm. just as he is pure. If you don't have this vision of him coming, you'll see no value in seeking purity, in mm-hmm. seeking a pure lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, yes, I want to be that bride who has made herself ready, then you go, I'm going to put effort. I'm going to seek God in being a pure bride for the return of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so key. Mm-hmm. If it's just about improving our own lives, mm-hmm. then it's a spiral down. It's uh-huh. it's a self-absorbed thing. But when it's outside of us, oh, I want to be ready for you. I want to be ready for your coming. I want to be that bride that's got a garment pure and white. It's outside of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there's a greater motivation. And we say, yes, Lord, I want to be pure for your glory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so good. And I think, there's people out there that are calling. I so appreciate everyone that's out there calling people to purity. And I think that it's such a voice that needs to be heard. Mm. But I think that sometimes we can get a little off balance when we try to convince our youth that they should remain pure just for, you know, it's just for their spouse, or just for, you know, the idea of getting married one day, mm. or just for whatever it is.
Great reasons.
They're great reasons. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not belittling the reasons mm-hmm. at all, but I feel like it's short-lived. Like mm-hmm. where you need a greater hope,
right.
You need a greater motivation, because when it comes to, we just, as humans, we need that. Mm-hmm. We need it, something bigger than us.
Right.
And I think that that's something that our youth, that our children really need to grab a hold of, mm-hmm. of that hope of something. This is so big. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than a spouse or even your marriage here on this earth. There's a wedding supper of the Lamb that is coming. And that should be the driving force of ultimately of meeting our heavenly bridegroom.
Right.
And I believe that that is what will get us through, you know, to the being able to stand when we're tempted, when we're mm-hmm. tried in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. I love a story I heard from the Moravians. I don't know if you've heard of them, but it was a group over in Europe. But they lived in radical obedience to God. There's even stories of them selling themselves into slavery in order to reach a group of people that otherwise could not be reached. And their clarion call was that the Lamb would receive the reward of his sufferings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes in our Christian walk, you know, being a believer, we sometimes think about all the benefits that we get, which mm-hmm. we get a lot of benefits, righteousness, mm-hmm. joy, with so many gifts that God gives us.
We flourish in those.
Yes.
Like it's good for us.
It's good for us personally, right?
Right.
But these people, there's like a second level in a way of you go, okay, it's not just about what I get out of this deal. I don't just get salvation, but what am I going to give mm-hmm. in return for all that God has given me? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's an amazing thought, but wow, God is delighted when we love him back. Mm-hmm. He's shown such great love to us. Mm-hmm. And then we make that conscious decision, God, I want to live in a lifestyle that just shows you how much I love you back. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Moravians said, that the Lamb would receive the reward of his sufferings. Mm-hmm. The Lamb came and suffered for us, that we could be redeemed. We could know salvation, the joy of his salvation. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying, we want to live in radical obedience that the Lamb would receive the reward that he is worthy of. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the call that, you know, that you and I believe, Tally, feel mm-hmm. called to our generation. Let's, you know, let's delight, let's joy in his salvation. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, let's say, let's give him something. Mm-hmm. Let's give him something back. Let's give him our lives, as yeah. Romans says, a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. holy and acceptable before God. And let's bring joy to his heart. Mm-hmm. Not just about what we get out of it, but let's give something back to him.
Right, right.
And this is what we want to promote. This is what we want to encourage the mm-hmm. body. Let's give him. He's worthy. He's mm-hmm. worthy of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love, you know, I just love the picture of our God, that he is not a stoic, unemotional,
attached.
Yeah, it's incredible that he built it this way. Like, he gave us the ability to affect his heart, to bring, you know, to make him angry or to make him happy or to, you know what I mean? Like as a wife, I know that if Braden was just a brick wall, you know, and he just wasn't, you know, he never smiled, never like got real happy with me, never got sad with me. Like, how terrible would that be? And so I think the same is true of our Creator. Like, he created us, and he created us with the ability to affect his heart. And so I love that. Like, how, I think it's something that we really need to think about, is that, you know, as we go throughout our day, as we live our lives, we have the ability to bring great joy, and great pleasure to his heart and to the heart of Yeshua. It's the reason why, you know, he gave his life, was so that he could draw us close to him. And so, I'm excited about engaging more in that and understanding that more, in my own life, as I want to bring, just great joy to my bridegroom's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. So just as an encouragement to all of you, pursue purity, pursue holiness with that in mind, that you're doing this in preparation for the King of all kings, who's coming back to this earth. Mm-hmm. He's coming for a pure bride. Let's make ready. Let's be mm-hmm. that bride that has oil in our lamps and mm-hmm. is ready for his return.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we will catch you next week, and we're going to sign off here. So this is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.